You're listening to the Thursday Morning Show on KEXE KBXE. I'm Heidi Holton with John Bauer. Tim O'Brien's novels include The Things They Carried, If I Die in a Combat Zone, In the Lake of the Woods, among many others. And he won the National Book Award. He's also won the Pritzker Military Library Literature Award for Lifetime Achievement in Military Writing. He was part of Ken Burns' 2017 documentary series, The Vietnam War, and a co-writer on the Vietnam episodes of the NBC series, This Is Us. He was raised in Minnesota. He now lives in Austin, Texas.
He's got a new book out called Dad's Maybe Book, a different style altogether that shares wisdom for life in letters, lessons learned in wartime, and the challenges, humor, and rewards of raising two sons. And Tim joins us now. Good morning, Tim. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Hey, thanks for getting up. I understand you're on the West Coast.
I am. I got up at 4:30 and went to a Starbucks, loaded up with coffee, and I'm ready to go.
4:30? Is that a normal routine for you?
Unfortunately, it's par for the course when you're on a book tour.
Oh, because when I was trying to set this up, I said, well, he'd do anything for Minnesota, but if 4:30, that's no problem for you then.
Well, it's not 4:30 now.
Yeah. Okay, so let's tell us.
I got out of bed.
Let's tell us what it's like to be a father at 58.
Well, I'm not 58 anymore. I'm 73 now, and it's been 16 years of basically not writing. I gave it up to be a good father, and only recently decided that out of fatherhood, I could write a book that wasn't about Vietnam for a change.
Where'd the title come from, Dad's Maybe Book?
The title was born really by my youngest son when he was 7 years old. He had come across in a desk drawer maybe 30 pages of messages that I had written to the boys for the day when they wouldn't have a father anymore, maybe in middle age, maybe when they're in college. And these messages were essentially love letters to the two boys, so they would hear the sound of their dad's voice through the pages of the book, or the pages of these that I'd written. And Tad saw them and said, is this a book? And I said, no. And he said, will it ever be a book? And I said, maybe. And Tad said very sternly, he said, well, you better be honest and call it what it is. Call it your maybe book. And that's what I did.
Well, what kind of things did he find? What were you writing on those scraps of paper?
It was a mixture of things. Like my life, it's kind of disorderly, like everybody's life, I suppose. So I wrote about my own childhood, and I wrote about my time at war, trying to explain to my children what it was like to be a soldier in a very unpopular war in Vietnam, what it felt like to watch people die all around me. I also wrote about my struggles as a writer, trying to write good sentences and bring some beauty into the world. I wrote about being their father and how much I had learned from them. I had expected that I would be teaching my children, but instead they ended up, for the most part, teaching me.
What did they teach you?
Well, a variety of things. I remember I learned a big lesson one day when we were vacationing in southern France at a way too expensive resort, way beyond our means. Everybody was rich. They all looked like George Hamilton. And we felt totally out of place. As a Minnesotan especially, I felt out of place. And I received a phone call at this place from my sister who told me my mother had died. And I went over to the kids, who were then 7 and 9, and I told them my mom had died. They didn't say much, and I didn't say much. And for a couple of hours, we just hit that ping pong ball back and forth, which was what was happening in my head as I remembered my mom when she was a young woman and a middle-aged woman, and then dead. Eventually, we left this resort to walk down to a small village for dinner. And it was dusk and the purple twilight was all around us. And I took Timmy's hand, and I said, "Are you thinking about Grandma?" And Timmy said, "No, I'm thinking about you thinking about Grandma."
Wow.
Well, I learned so much from that simple, beautiful sentence coming out of my boy's mouth about empathy. I had thought that he was totally wrapped up in his little boy thoughts about ping pong and basketball and so on, and didn't give him credit for how he could sympathize with another person and what that other person was thinking about and worrying about and mulling over. So the lesson of otherness and of empathy was retaught to me in a way that brought me back to the person I used to be.
You know, you talked about writing your experiences, telling your kids the experiences in Vietnam on paper. What is easier, to share your experiences with your kids on paper or tell them in words?
I do both. Most of what I put on paper that appears in Dad's Maybe Book comes from dinner table conversations and from bedtime stories and conversation that we'll have with boys as they grew up. They'll ask a question, for example, what was it like being a soldier? And I'll try to explain how I was wearing two heads. And on the one hand, I loved my country and wanted to serve my country. On the other hand, I was opposed to the war in Vietnam. The day I got drafted, it was probably the worst day of my life. And I had to make a terrible decision what to do. Do I go up to your neck of the woods and cross the border into Canada? Or do I go to a war on the other side of the world? I ended up going and have had to live with that for the rest of my life. And I'll tell the kids that wars don't end when peace treaties are signed, that they go on and on in the memories of the soldiers and of the mothers of the dead and the fathers and the sisters and brothers, the children, and that this, we have a misconception about, you know, wars being over. They echo on as they have in my life now for 50 years.
I bet they appreciate your honesty.
They do. I try to lighten it up somewhat. Yeah. I try to tell funny stories, too. And I make them laugh, I think, as much as I make them feel silent and sad.
Speaking of Tim O'Brien, the book is Dad's Maybe Book. Tim, what was your dad like, and what kind of, we all try and be, I guess, maybe a little bit better than our fathers. What was your dad like?
Well, it was rugged. He was an alcoholic. He was a terrific man. When he was sober, he was funny. He was fun to be around. Everybody loved him. He was well-read. He was intelligent. But he was drunk a lot of my youth. And my recollection of growing up in Worthington, Minnesota was of a very tense household, bitter arguments between my mom and dad late at night. I'm 7 years old, lying in bed, hearing some pretty ugly language. And my recollections now of Worthington are largely formed as a result of that tough childhood I had to have when telling my little league teammates that my dad wouldn't be our coach anymore. And he was off in Wilmer, had a alcoholism treatment institution, and how embarrassing that was. So my recollections are of a wonderful town in many ways, but also the town that seemed to be rebuking me and rebuking my dad for what was then thought of as a moral issue, alcoholism. Now it's thought of as a disease, but that wasn't true back then.
And it feels like as a kid that you're the only one that's happening to. And as I grew up, I realized a lot of my friends, because that was going on in my family too, that a lot of my friends, same thing was happening to them, but we were all not talking about it to each other.
Yeah. No, it's, I was caught, as probably you were, and do I say anything? Do I stay silent? Do I talk to my dad about it? Do I talk to my friends about it? And my personality was one, I retreated into silence. I stayed quiet about it. And the quiet probably wasn't good for me. It made it last way into my adulthood.
Well, I was just going to say, I read a quote that it said, Dad's Maybe book dwells on the state of America and American life. Can you explain that?
Yeah, it's hard thing to explain, but when my kids grew up, for example, in the age of 9/11, fear of terrorism, wartime, they lived their whole lives with a country at war. And I feel it's necessary for me, as a veteran of a war, Vietnam, to do what I can to talk to them about things that have bothered me over the years. Probably the foremost of those is absolutism, that it's so easy in wartime to make simplistic, absolute judgments about things. We're good and they're evil. And to make them absolute. And not to use your own mind to think about, should we be killing people for 15 years? Has it accomplished anything? Are the streets of the Middle East safer than they used to be? Is there more religious tolerance? Is there more civility as a consequence of 15 years and more now, and almost 19 years of killing? I try not to say yes or no. I try to phrase these things as questions. Ultimately, my kids, like everybody's children, have to make their own minds up about the world. So I do everything I can not to answer my own questions, but instead encourage my kids to ask questions of themselves.
John, you will understand this, just like Tim, about having a child, a baby who cries for, you know, the first 5 months of life and what that's like. Oh. You write about that in your book, Tim. What was that like for you and your wife?
Well, we were rookies at being parents. We thought this hideous shrieking happened for almost 6 months from our first boy, Timmy. We thought it was our fault. We were crusty, over-the-hill chromosomes because we were older parents. We thought, well, somehow we transmitted a kind of hate-the-world mentality to this little infant. And it got worse and worse and worse. Nothing worked. We would call the pediatrician and the pediatric nurses, and they'd tell us what we already knew. Babies cry. We knew that. We were listening to it for 6 months. Timmy cried when he was eating and when he wasn't eating, when he trying to sleep, when he wasn't, just endless crying. And it got infectious. My wife started crying. And one day I found her sitting outside Timmy's bedroom door, just weeping. While behind the door, Timmy was shrieking. And I didn't really decide to do it. I just did it. I put us all in a car and drove to an emergency room. And when we got there, after 7 hours, we left with three prescriptions. Xanax for me to settle me down, Xanax for Meredith, and a drug called Prilosec for Timmy. As it turned out, he was suffering from acid reflux disease. He couldn't eat because it hurt. And when he didn't eat, he'd cry because he was hungry. But of course, he was an infant. He couldn't explain any of this to us. So the result of it was that something very simple had been causing it all. But for 6 months, we had lived with the thought that probably all parents worry about. Am I doing something to make my child unhappy? And it was really a relief to learn that it wasn't at least entirely my fault.
Wow. I went through that experience too, Tim, and I could sympathize. I know exactly what you're talking about. My trick, my only trick to stop the crying was to gently blow a breath into my daughter's mouth and nose at the same time. And she would gasp for like 1/10 of a second. She'd go, and she wouldn't, and she wouldn't cry. And that and was the break we
what
got.
What a great trick. I wish you'd called me up and told me.
It worked. Hey, I'm just wondering, with your feelings on Vietnam and serving your country, when you give book talks and things like that, do young men or young women ever come up and ask you about going into the military or advice?
Well, they don't really frame it as advice, though I think that's what they're after. You know, what should I do? But they don't say it explicitly. They'll come and listen to me read a chapter from The Things They Carried or some other book, and my voice will crack, and sometimes I'll tear up. It's hard to get through, and they'll come up afterward, sometimes in uniform. Sometimes they're in the military waiting for deployment. And they're 22, 23 years old, ordinarily. Almost all of them men, although not entirely all. No, fewer women. And they'll say, I know that was hard for you, but I appreciate your being honest and open. I know it was tough going. And they'll turn and maybe give me a hug. And then now and then turn back and say, I've been thinking about joining the military, the Marine Corps, or the Army. And now I know I'm going to. Mm-hmm. Well, that was not the lesson I was trying to impart. I was trying to show that war is a nasty, brutal, dehumanizing sort of thing. It can turn you into another human being, sometimes permanently. And to be cautious about killing people, to think hard and deep about it. So I'll go back to my hotel room and I'll look in the mirror and I'll think what a yo-yo I am and what a failure I am as a writer. But then I'll realize that all of us, when we read books or watch movies, we're all taking something different from it than what maybe the author intended. We're bringing our own values, our own yearnings, our own religious backgrounds, all this history to a book or to a movie, and we're coming away with different things, and that's the way it ought to be. It should be that way.
So what do your boys think of the book?
I'm sorry?
What do your boys think of the book?
Good question. I just, 2 days ago, I'm on this endless book tour, and my kids knew I was exhausted, and ready to be finished with traveling, you know, in airports and hotels and being alone. And I found out a couple of days ago, somebody called me and said that my younger boy, to cheer me up, had posted a comment on Amazon. You know, you can rate a book. Gave me a good 5-star rating. And and as just to cheer me up, had done that. So I think, though I'm not positive, that they've actually read it. However, when I left home, the books were lying beside their beds, and they looked unopened to me. So I'm not sure if they've opened them over the last 3 weeks or so. I guess they have.
Maybe they're waiting for you to get home.
Right.
That's Tim O'Brien. His new book is out. It's called Dad's Maybe Book. We thank you for your time this morning, Tim. Thanks a lot.
I had a great time. Thank you.